The country of Nineveh was a land of ungodliness. It was a wicked nation. I tell you, a nation's got to be wicked when God sends a prophet, not only with a message, but with a date. God's given me a message. He's not giving me the date. But he sent Jonah down to this city and said to them, in 40 days, Nineveh's going to be destroyed. That was his message. God sent them this prophet to warn of his coming wrath and to advise them that they should be humble and they should seek mercy, undeserved mercy, by the way, from the hand of the Lord. The message of God convicted their hearts. From the king who sat on the throne of the nation to the most feeble person in Nineveh, they began to repent. They began to practice a fast. And they began to plead for divine mercy. It tells us that in verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God, claimed to fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. I ask you, do you know anywhere in America where they're doing that today? These people were not sure that God would show kindness. His prophets walking across their city, declaring one simple message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. I would be intrigued to see if God gave us such a message, how we would respond. They were not sure that God would show any kindness to them. And by the way, in case you don't know this, he doesn't have to. He does not have to. God's under no obligation to show kindness to anybody except those he chose in Christ. And they have no other hope but him. This city sounds to me like it's in a dire strait. But I want you to know something. That the United States of America, in 2016... is worse than Nineveh. It's a land of sin and a land of corruption, and it's a land that's under the condemnation of God. Is there any hope for us? I see none in our politicians. We've got Jezebel running for president. Now, I have no problem about her because she's a woman. But now she's getting a gay lady to be her vice president, looks like. On the other hand, we have one of the most arrogant men in America. I mean, if I have a choice between the two, I know which one I want, but neither one is my choice. But that's what we're going to have for a president the next 4 or 8 years. Crime is rampant across this society like it's never been. There have been more murders in Lexington, Kentucky in the last 2 years than there have been in the last 10. There are more drugs in the little town you live in than there were in major cities a few years ago. This is one of the first weeks I can ever remember the Harrodsburg disappointment. They had more pictures of people who'd been arrested than did people that died. And a lot of people died last week. Is there any hope for us? Is there any refuge for our sinfulness? I want to bring you a message today, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled America's Danger and Her Only Hope. Maybe God will give us a refuge here. He said in the 9th verse, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Who could tell? Who could tell? I tell you, America has imminent danger. It tells us in the 4th verse that Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and then we shall be overthrown. I wish God would send us a man with that message. The power of God is great over all the hearts of humanity. He can make a Roman soldier, after he's murdered an innocent man, say, this is a man of righteousness. He can make a dying thief on a cross cry out, oh God, remember me. And he'll remember. He has power over all our hearts. Do you ever wonder why people turn out the way they do? Part of it's their depravity. But part of it's the purpose of God. The inhabitants of Nineveh were ungodly heathens, and they were wallowing in sin. They loved sin. Until this man came with this message, 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. The city probably had never had a prophet before. We don't read of any churches there, any prophets there, any synagogues there. No reference to the land of Israel. Until a man came out of a fish's belly and began to cry out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be destroyed. God's awful denunciation was their condemnation. I don't know about you, but I'd love for Americans to hear God's voice of condemnation. I'd love for them to hear. Yet 40 days, and America will be destroyed. Even the king took his robes off, got off the throne, put on sackcloth and ashes, and began to mourn before God. Can you imagine Barack Obama doing such a thing? Now, he'll put on a robe of Allah and celebrate with some of those folks. And he'll talk about what a good Christian he is. But you won't see him doing that. I can assure you, you won't see Jezebel doing it. And you won't see Donald Trump doing it. This declared fact shut down all businesses and focused their attention on spiritual bankruptcy. Just this past week, Great Britain extracted themselves from the European Union, and it affected stock markets all over the world. The American stock market went down 600 points one day. People began to panic, began to tremble, wonder what's going to happen with our money. Friday, it was back where it used to be. And so we take that for granted. But this nation shut down. Stores closed. Businesses were not operating. Everyone was repenting and fasting and begging God for mercy. The most severe of God's condemnation is the only thing that leaves hope for repentance. Ezekiel 23:14 says that she increased her whoredoms, for when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dyed attire upon their heads, all of them princes to look to after the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldee, the land of their nativity. But then Jeremiah responded, Jeremiah 18, I will not scatter them as with the east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity. And then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor words from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. That's what people say when God threatens. That's what they said. And in case you don't know, that's what we'll say. God speaks to carnal flesh in condescension and mercy. And they respond in wrath and anger. Speak out against Him. Our many demerits and our defaults excite in the hearts of believers a spirit of prayerful repentance, but in the hearts of the world, just wrath. Just wrath. Jonah's message was designed to humble these people and to attract a confession of sin. And God was the only one who could suspend the execution of wrath. Let me tell you something. Any man, any woman who says they're going to do anything had better first say if the Lord's willing. Because if the Lord's not willing, you ain't. And God was the only one, this nation, as big as Atlanta, Georgia, filled with people, thousands and thousands of people, when the prophet came and he said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, they knew they had no hope. And I want you to know today that America has no hope. Except God. God may not speak to us by a prophet or an audible voice. His word teaches that it shall be well with the righteous, even if they die. God has raised up a succession of preachers to declare His message. I spoke to you a few weeks ago on some of the great preachers. And where are they now? But they've warned us. And we have not heard. God also speaks to our hearts by His providence and His justice. People wonder, it's rained too much. It's not rained enough. The crops are growing. The crops are not growing. The stock market's up. The stock market's down. That's God speaking to you. The reports of His justice ought to make human hearts tremble. Left to themselves, people are given up without any hope, without any restraint. The storm of His wrath is never more than a short distance away. Never. Never. Secondly, I think we see from this text that America's need to humble themselves before God. You do, I do, all people do. It is time for Americans to lose their pride and arrogance. I'm going to tell you something. You can take it any way you want to, but I'll tell you, I mean it as constructive criticism. I've been all over this world, and we're the proudest, most arrogant people on the face of the earth. And God's blessed us with so much that it encourages us, instead of being grateful, to be wicked and proud and arrogant. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to lose that. God speaks of unseen and unknown realities of unbelief. We're surrounded by people of unbelief, and nobody hears. We live in this county. There's about 20,000 people or so live in this county. This is one of only two or three churches that preach anything at all. And yet we have more seats empty this morning than we have filled. Where are those people? Well, it's the first Sunday in July. They're at the lake. Or they're at the golf course. Or they've gone to the beach. They're somewhere except in the house of God. He speaks to us and we don't hear. Only by God-given faith can we comprehend His holy character. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 6:3, one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. You think about that? This earth is full of His glory. We don't hear much about it. We see some ball player hit a home run. He'll go, "Hey, you Guineas, get off my grass." And then, you know, he's a religious fella. You know, some fella scores a touchdown. He bows his head and does a T-bow. We're really religious. If you believe that, you trade all the tea in China for a nickel with a hole in it. Oh, that more people were filled with this message of doom. I wish somebody would hear this. The gospel is the only hope of unbelieving sinners. They believe everything else. AAA, if you're drunk, it'll get you sober. Some drug program, if you're hooked, will get you free. If you're in jail, they've got programs there to straighten you out and get you on a new path. If you're broke, they've got ways to get you going again. I'm telling you, the only hope that any sinner has is the gospel of God's free grace. It's the only hope. To see His power is to lose your confidence and your pride. I sit back there and talk to God this morning. I told the Lord, I'm just not fit to go out there and preach. And I'm in it. They told me to go anyway. The holiness of God engrosses our thoughts more than the carnal heart will ever do. Every sinner must begin to look at their own pathway. You know, the measure of our iniquity is filling every day. Iniquity is so profound and so abundant in this country that we have so few people who are seekers of righteousness. We're called to humble ourselves from the power of sin. Instead, we strut around like a painted rooster. Our failures and all our duties leave us in need of great mercy. And we have no plea except divine compassion as our refuge. Who can tell? Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Who can tell? Only those who are convicted can view the sinful deceit of their own nation. You know, God's people understand their sinfulness. Christianity will make you take sides with God against yourself. You'll see your sins like you've never seen them before, and you'll hate them worse than you've ever hated them before. And you'll find hope not in your ability to straighten up or fly right, but in God's infinite mercy. The Lord's words to the nation of Israel speak to us as well as they did to them. Those who are convicted of God rest in His mercy, and they condemn sin. I'm convinced one of the major problems in our country is the vast majority of our people and almost all our politicians, they don't even know what sin is. But God's gospel of free grace is shunned as pestilent by unbelievers. Now you start talking to most people in our country and you say, now God loved us so much that He took His own Son and nailed Him to a cross and abused Him as no human being had ever been abused. And He did that for us. and God's people will bow before that and acknowledge Him. But you know what most people will say? What kind of God is that? I couldn't believe in a God like that. He's the only God to believe in. The rest of them are scraps of your imagination. There are people who live without God, and they need to understand they're in a crisis. If you walk the streets, you see sin. If you read the paper, you see sin. If you mix with people, you see sin. If you watch the television news, you see sin. It's clear. The law of God is ignored and it's abused by carnal hearts of people around us. We have a loss of public spirit and it leaves us covered with filth. Who can tell? Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Thirdly, I'd like to say to you that America and Americans deserve God's judgment. We deserve it. You go to jail and try to find somebody that deserves being in prison. They're hard to find. In fact, I think they'll turn them all loose. Find somebody in prison that deserves to be there and acknowledges they deserve to be there, y'all turn them loose. It's not fair for all those innocent people that are in prison to have to live in there with those few guilty people. We must ask, is there a possibility that God will show us mercy? Is there a possibility? Our sins are as bad or worse than all the other subjects of justice. We have trampled on the tender forgiveness of God repeatedly in life. Humanity is joined to its idols of unbelief. Isaiah 1:15 says, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Empires have been destroyed that once appeared invisible. They disappeared like fog on a mountaintop. God's patience bore with them until His justice came to bear. The citizens of the Roman Empire thought nobody could overthrow them. They ruled and reigned longer than any other empire in the history of humanity. They defeated every army. They thought, sure, we'll be here forever. But they've been gone for 1,700 years. America is not 300 years old yet. And we've got that same idiotic idea. We'll be here forever. We're the only nation in the world that's doing good. Our economy's good. Our oil is good. Our farms are good. Our people are educated. We're well off. Well, we'll be here forever. Who can tell? Who can tell? God's patience may end. Humanity has no security against such a mighty God. Jeremiah 5:9 says, shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord, and shall not my soul be avenged on such nations as this? Let me ask you a question. Simple question. If our nation was invaded tomorrow by somebody, I don't care whether it's ISIS or Russians or Australians or who it is, think of who it is, what would you do? What would you do? They overwhelmed our armies and our navies and swept into our shores and began to destroy our cities and kill our people. What would you do? He said, preacher, you don't need to talk about that. That can't happen. Bet me. It can happen. And if God delays His coming, it will happen. Our faith and our love for God as a people are weak and deplorable. I get sickened at the weakness of religion in this country. People profess faith in God, but they live like demons. We are filled with defects. Our churches are dead. There's no life in them. I tell you, God will destroy the vain confidence of dead hearts. He will. He will. He silenced Pilate. You ever hear of an emperor dying from the worms? Ask Herod if God can kill a man with worms. Spiritual appearance at this hour is very dark to me. There's a discord among professors. Religious folks believe everything from billy goats to flying juniper trees. Our many blessings are despised and depreciated among us. Well, I'm mad at God. Why are you mad at God? Well, didn't give me anything to eat, David, some soup, beans, and cornbread. Man, I remember when that was filet de mignon. I still eat them. This corruption is abetted by our sense of self-sufficiency. Everybody's so self-sufficient. I'll get by to myself. I'll get by. Are you sure? Are you sure? That's pride. Many nations have been spoiled and discarded by God. They've lost their hope and their lives are at risk. Their sufferings are a reminder of what we all deserve. You realize that only about 125 years ago, the nation of England was the heartthrob of the gospel across the world. There were more great preachers and great theological seminaries and gospel churches on every hand. They tended to the needs of the poor, and they tended to the needs of souls, and they tended to the needs of sinners. And they're all dead now. And in case you haven't looked around, the churches in America are dying. They're dying. So what can we do? Well, we have so much cause to mourn our sins and the judgment that we deserve as a people. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Our eyes affect our hearts, and they make us grieve for sin, and they should. I tell you, the hearts of wicked men and women in this country ought to tremble like leaves in the wind. Ought to lay in their beds at night and weep tears. Oh, God, don't let me die before the sun comes up. We can only anticipate what God will do about our sin. I tell you, He's on the throne. And He reigns. And the earth ought to be humble and bow before His majesty. The flesh rages and frets and threatens, but it's all in vain. It's empty. We would do well to mourn and dread our lack of refuge. What alternatives are available to our troubled hearts? Well, we ought to do what these people did. They repented and they began to pray. They fasted and they prayed for peace and for blessing upon their nation. And we ought to pray for peace and blessing upon His churches, few as they are. We ought to pray for a blessing of wisdom to our leaders and our politicians. I believe the current president of the United States is the worst president of this country in my lifetime and maybe in history. But I pray for him that God will give him wisdom because he can change their hearts. He can change their hearts. We need to pray for God to intervene as our shield and our defender around us. Well, to plead with God that He would give us great faith. People always talk about working up faith. I heard somebody on the radio today say, you know, if we just work up our faith, we can take care of this problem. We work up our faith, we can get rid of sin. We work up our faith, we can have a great revival of religion. Hogwash. You can't work up enough faith to scare a fly off your Cheerios. We ought to plead that God would give us great faith. He's raised up heathen kings as instruments of wrath. They destroyed Israel. They destroyed Judah. And then others destroyed them. They destroyed the Roman Empire. They destroyed the Turkish Empire. They destroyed the Roman Inquisition. And they're destroying America. God has delivered from prisons, but He has also established prisons. You know, God still opens the throne of grace to hearts that are concerned. To the saints of mercy, He tells us to lament the worldly calamities that are so attendant upon sin. To bear the stain of sin and to plead for divine forgiveness. Oh God, forgive our sins. We need to plead with God for mercy. Mercy in behalf of ourselves and mercy in behalf of our nation. I must mention that there may be some here who are without Christ, that are unconcerned about their sin and their shame. I'll tell you, you're subject to divine wrath. Subject to it. Abundant numbers have died this week of all ages, all situations, and most without Christ. It makes me tremble when I read that somebody died and they were a member of the Baptist Church. They were a member of the Presbyterian Church or a member of the Christian Church. Look, if you're so irreligious that they don't even, your family doesn't even know what church you belong to, I would not have too much confidence in my faith. And there are many people around us that are just as guilty. I tell you, God's gracious ears open. He hears the cries of His people. And unless He shows mercy, there's no hope and no future for our nation or those people without Christ. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? May God in His sovereign mercy be pleased to deliver us from that judgment which we so honestly deserve. It's my prayer.